Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us today. Got so much to talk about. An update on COVID-19 from Dr. Peter Chin Hong, UC San Francisco Medical Center and infectious disease specialist. Coming up in our second hour, we're going to open up the phones for listeners to talk about the ways in which they're dealing with some of the strong emotions many of us have around the pandemic, whether it's loneliness, anxiety, fear, anger. We're going to talk about the ways listeners are attempting to deal with that. Maybe we can all help each other go through this challenging period. That's coming up next hour, Air Talk, here on KPCC. But we begin, as we're halfway through the Republican National Convention, to talk about the party's efforts to reach out to non-white voters. We've seen a number of prominent speakers. First night, it included South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, who's African American, former NFL star Herschel Walker, talking about, would he be friends for more than three decades with a man who's a racist? Speaking of President Trump, Georgia Democratic State Representative Vernon Jones spoke, who's African-American, and young African-American congressional candidate in Maryland, Kim Klasick. All of them were on the program, as well as former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley. Last night as well, we saw Latino pastors who were part of the presentation, all of an effort to counter the perception that the Republican Party is essentially a party of whites. Joining us to talk about what the potential is for President Trump to attract more voters of color is Politico reporter covering race and demographics, Maya King. Maya, thank you very much for being with us. Share with us what polls show, or if they are any indicator, of what the potential is for the president to draw more voters of color.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for having me. From what we know and from what we've seen in the polls, the Trump presidency has been profoundly unfriendly or perceived as very unfriendly to people of color. And that's how they've responded. He has consistently polled under 10%, really around 7 and 8% among Black Democrats and Black voters in general. And where the campaign really sees an opportunity, according to what we've reported and seen in the past, is in breaking through, particularly in support among young male voters of color. They're counting on young Black voters specifically to either vote Republican or not vote at all, because either of those decisions would actually play better for Trump's reelection effort. But overall, we're not really sure. We can't see yet if those efforts have really yielded any returns and whether or not that really stands to change anything, just because 2020, as we know, the election is really a referendum, not just on Trump's record on the coronavirus, but his record on race and race relations.
Speaking of the coronavirus, do we have any sense of how Asian American voters have responded to Trump versus previous Republican presidential candidates?
Well, one thing that we do know is that the increase in hate crimes and vitriol against Asian Americans has risen sharply since the onset of the coronavirus and the utterance of the phrase China virus that President Trump and many of his allies have used incorrectly to describe COVID-19. And so as a result, from what I've seen and what I've talked to with Asian American advocates is that, there's really not a lot of allyship with the Republican Party in general right now among Asian American voters, because frankly, they feel threatened by many of President Trump's supporters who have in increasing numbers come out to even become physically violent with Asian Americans and have cited them as the cause of its spread in the United States, which is, as we know, not true.
I'd love to hear from voters of color in our audience who support President Trump. What are your thoughts about the potential for the president to attract more voters within your family group, friend group, who are perhaps just going to sit the election out? Is there a potential for President Trump there, or have so many bridges been burned with non-white communities that you don't see that happening? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. And I also wonder if you are a Trump supporter, how you deal with the criticism or conflict that might bring up within your family, within your workplace or friend group. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. We're talking with Maya King, Politico reporter who covers race and demographics within politics. Maya, for Latinos, UC Berkeley poll that recently came out showed in California, Trump running at about 30% support among Latinos. Presumably a high percentage of those are evangelical Christian, perhaps conservative Catholics who support the president's stance on abortion. Do we see much shift occurring among Latino voters compared to 4 years ago?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. And from what I've seen, that seems to hold true, because among Latino voters, as you mentioned, many of them are evangelicals, which is a demographic that the Trump campaign and the Trump administration has repeatedly allied itself with. And also a talking point that's been really played heavily at the RNC this week that's targeted Latino voters is the talking point on socialism and socialist countries. On Monday night and Tuesday night, two very prominent Cuban American voices have been presented to say, look, I know what socialism looks like in practice, citing the Castro regime. And they've said that they believe under a Biden administration, there would be a return to that level of violence, that level of poverty, and that level of fear, particularly among voters that they have. And so I think that's been an effective tactic. And that seems to hold true and play very well with Latino voters.
We're talking with Maya King of Politico. Maya, anything else to add just about, the ways that the two parties have presented themselves? Of course, the Democratic Party is very diverse. So just the number of people participating naturally would be much more a mix of people. But about the response from the Republican Party.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, you know, this has really been a referendum on race and a referendum on Trump's handling of race relations, not just this year, but over the past 4 years. And so Democrats last week really made efforts to paint Trump not just as someone who stokes racial tensions, but someone who has passed policies that have been directly detrimental to communities of color, thinking about immigration policies, policing, and just the relationships that have really been severed between whites and non-whites, quite frankly, that Democrats have cited as a byproduct of the Trump administration. And Trump's campaign and the RNC this week, on the other hand, have taken many efforts to make sure that they include Black validators like Tim, like Herschel Walker, and even Vernon Jones, who is a Black Democrat, to say that they know what racism looks like as people who have been Black in America, and that Trump is not that. Trump is not a racist. And the policies that they have cited, of course, have been the Opportunity Zones, increased funding for HBCUs, and we also saw the naturalization ceremony with the inclusion of many different people of different racial and ethnic backgrounds. And so it's almost like it depends on which rose-colored glasses you're looking at the situation through, quite honestly. And it's been really just an us versus them conversation on both sides in terms of how Democrats and Republicans have approached the quote-unquote race issue in 2020.
Maya, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Maya King of Politico is politics reporter who covers race and demographics. Her recent piece on Politico covering the GOP convention and its effort to appeal to voters of color. Again, I'd like to hear from you, particularly if you are a supporter of President Trump and a voter of color. how your conversations with others in your family who might disagree with you, how that plays out, and also what do you think is the best approach for the Republican Party and President Trump to take in appealing to voters like yourself? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with us, the Dean of Pepperdine University's School of Public Policy and Senior Fellow at Pepperdine's Davenport Institute, Pete Peterson. Dean Peterson, welcome back to AirTalk.
Good to be with you, Larry.
So let's talk about the African-American, Latino immigrant participation in the GOP convention. What's your sense of its ability to connect with voters of color?
Well, first, I'd say I think what's been so remarkable around these first few nights, and certainly looking at the schedule of speakers for tonight and tomorrow, is the diversity not only in issues of communities of color, but also non-politicians. I remark looking at the Politico website, and which shows the speakers who've gone the first couple nights and will be going for the next two, just how few titles there are next to the names of so many of these speakers. And when I went back and looked at the convention lineups for 2016 and 2012, it's pretty traditional for Republicans to bring out their governors and to bring out their congressmen and women. And there are many, certainly looking back at previous years, who are white males. So in part, what I think the Trump campaign is doing is diversifying not only racially, but also trying to make a statement that this is a broader political movement that doesn't just involve politicians. I remark that if you're a white male sitting political figure in the United States, whether in Congress or a governor, it's a very rare chance that you're going to get on this podium at any point. In fact, looking at the numbers, less than 3% of the speakers are white male sitting elected politicians. And so I think there's an opportunity, or what the campaign is trying to do is to present not only a variety of speakers and to show a diversity of speakers as it relates to ethnicity and racial makeup, but also trying to make a statement that this is a broader political movement of non-politicians.
Does that in a way, though, misrepresent the party, which is in its voting profile, in its registration, is overwhelmingly white? Is that effort to cultivate that image not an accurate reflection?
Well, again, I think certainly from the polling data, and we just heard that, certainly among black voters, we've seen very little budging of the needle there in support for President Trump. At the same time, I think what the campaign is trying to do is to say that this is more than just a standard Republican presidential campaign, trying to make a statement that this is part of a broader political movement. And it certainly could be said that that is not supported by various communities of color, but I think it is true to say that the Trump presidency is historic in its in the impact it is having both in American politics and certainly within the Republican Party.
We're talking with Dean P. Peterson, Pepperdine University School of Public Policy. Again, I'm looking to hear from listeners to Air Talk who are listeners of color, who are supporting President Trump, to share what you think the Republican Party needs to do or you think is doing to reach out to voters like yourself, and also how your political conversations go among your family and friends group given your support for President Trump and that you are in the distinct minority in your racial or ethnic group. 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page as well. Also with us from UCLA, founding executive director of the Latino Policy and Politics Initiative, Sonia Diaz. Thank you so much, Ms. Diaz, for being with us again. We appreciate it. Looking at Latino support for President Trump, is that almost exclusively among conservative Christians, or does it extend significantly into Latino entrepreneurs?
Over the course of the RNC convention, the Republican Party and Donald Trump have been trying to create this narrative of inclusion and care for people and communities of color. This is also clear for the Latino vote. We saw Donald Trump proceed over a naturalization ceremony of five immigrants last night, despite the last 4 years of an administration that saw kids in cages, families separated at the border, a Muslim ban, public charge rules, and I can keep going on. So this simply doesn't fit with the reality of the Trump administration, and frankly, even what's happened over the course of the last 6 months in the wake of COVID-19. President Trump has consistently shown racial animus. Over half of Americans believe that Trump is a racist, and 13% are unsure. This holds true for Latinos. Where the RNC and Donald Trump in particular can make a play for the Latino vote is really thinking about Latino men and touching and mobilizing them in ways that neither party have done to date. So as Latinos continue to be on the periphery of American politics, there is a play to speak to them, to center them, even if it is illogical and incongruent with policies and platforms that are occurring out of Donald Trump's White House.
Now, here in California, Latinos, of course, are at the center of politics here in California with representation in the state legislature and statewide office. And you look there at about 30% Latino support for President Trump. So again, do you think there's potential to reach beyond that 30%?
Absolutely not. And I want to provide an important caution and foil for this. We saw this in 2016, where major exit polls were misstating that Latinos supported Trump on the 2016 ticket upwards of 30%. We know in reviewing the actual outcomes and the data from county clerks and secretaries of state that it was closer to 18 to 22%. I always say that that's reasonable. Latinos are not going to get to the level of Black women who overwhelmingly support the Democratic ticket, and Republicans can count it a victory if they're able to get 10% of the Black female vote. Now, when we think about Latinos, it's important to see where Trump made gains in 16 and where he's focused in 20. And this is, you know, the flyover states, but also if he's being a team player for the party, which it's not clear that he is, given what we know about who is on the stage. Most of them are his family members. I object to the idea that if you are white, you're less likely to be on this RNC stage. It's absolutely not true, given that we have so many Trumps and Trump periphery players that are on the stage.
Let me just clarify. I think Pete Peterson didn't say white males. He said white male office holders. That was the distinction.
And so this gets to Trump being a team player for the party. This is not necessarily about the party. This is about Donald Trump. And there are places where the party needs the support to win back the seats that they lost in the 2018 midterms, but also hold their lead in the Senate in places like Arizona. The Real Clear Politics came out with a poll about swing states. Donald Trump is behind Biden in five of the six states, only one, North Carolina. Are they neck and neck? For voters of color, what's going to be clear is, are either party and candidates putting money in to mobilize these voters? And then do they live in jurisdictions that actually want them to vote? Are they going to make it really arduous during the coronavirus pandemic? That's a place where the RNC seems to be focused on the strategy, and you see it with the attacks on the United States Postal Service.
We're talking with Sonia Diaz, UCLA, Latino Policy and Politics Initiative. Dean Pete Peterson, your response.
Well, I guess I would say that the outline and the agenda for this, for the convention has really been, as I said, very much about a political movement. There's no doubt that Trump is not performing well in the polls. I think it's fair to say that at this point, he'd have to be considered an underdog, given all the information and the data that we're seeing from the battleground states. He is not performing well with many of the racial and ethnic groups that I don't know if it's fair to say he's targeting through this agenda or list of speakers that are participating in the convention. But again, I do think that the campaign is trying to make a different point. It's trying to make a point that this is, again, not just about the GOP. It's not just about the Republican Party. I think the professor is absolutely right to say that this convention is very much about Trump. I disagree with the thought that he is just kind of playing along in support of the GOP. He's trying to present a different Republican Party. And whether that's an effective message or not remains to be seen. But it is certainly true to say that he is down in most of the important swing state polls.
We'll continue on Air Talk with our focus on the latest on COVID-19. My thanks to Pete Peterson, Dean of Pepperdine School of Public Policy, and Sonia Diaz, UCLA's Latino Policy and Politics Initiative. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3. Dr. Peter Chin Hong joining us from UC San Francisco Medical Center in just 1 minute.